this is a message that you guys will definitely want to share. Whoops, I think I gave you three. An extra page. You're going to want to share. You know, our walk with God is mindsets. No, you have specific mindsets. Many people have their minds set on the wrong things. Many people have their minds set in the wrong places. So, we'll start off with a question here. Is failure possible?
Without God.
Christ cannot fail.
Pardon?
Christ cannot fail.
Yes.
Your perspective. Okay. If our perspective, if our mindset is in line with God's word, then we can experience this whole list of scriptures here. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for Jehovah is your God. Jehovah your God is he who goes with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you." If you heard of an investment in the stock exchange that would never fail, guaranteed, what would you do? You wouldn't crazy invest. If you had a guarantee. Joshua 1:5 says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life." Now, who's saying this?
Joshua?
God is saying this to Joshua. If you know Joshua 1, you'll see where God tells him, Moses is dead now. But as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. So he says, nobody's going to be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. That's God speaking personally. Is failure possible? Depends on your mindset. If your mindset is, God, I'm going to believe your word, then you'll never fail. Isaiah 41:10, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will make you strong. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." What if you've done any study, when God mentions the right hand, that's the ultimate strength. The right hand, that's the ultimate power. So you'll see that many times, the right hand of my righteousness. It can't get any stronger. "Behold, all those who are angered against you shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and those who fight with you shall perish. You shall seek them and shall not find them. Men warring against you shall be as nothing and as ceasing. For I, Jehovah, your God, I will hold your right hand. So he's going to take his right hand. He's going to hold your right hand. That's strength. That's power. Saying to you, do not fear. I will help you. This is God speaking. Now, you know, if we were to want to extrapolate any more, we could throw in scriptures where God says, I'm not a man. I don't lie. And I don't change. I don't vacillate. If I've said it, it's as good as done. And that was the failure of the apostles, the disciples, when they were on the boat. And Jesus said, let's go to the other side. So that was his word. Jesus is the word. Let's go to the other side. That was the will of the word of God, because Jesus was the word of God. So they got out into the boat. The waves started picking up. The wind started picking up. And they got into fear. Jesus was peaceful. He was down sleeping. His head was on the pillow. They woke him up. Lord, don't you care? He goes, and so he says to them, he gets up and goes, oh, you of little faith. Now, so the issue is faith that Jesus sees. What did they not have faith in?
What he said.
Yeah, what he said. I said, let's go to the other side. Oh, you of little faith. So he calmed the storm, and there was no more wind. How do you think they had to get to the other side? Hard work. Psalms 1. Blessed is the man who has not walked in the counsel of the ungodly and has not stood in the way of sinners. How many of you've had people try to give you ungodly counsel? What is ungodly counsel? Because Christians can give ungodly counsel.
Not scriptural.
Not scriptural. Not of faith. The flesh, carnal. Absolutely. A lot of Christians can get into that. Blessed is a man who has not walked in the counsel of the ungodly and has not stood in the way of sinners, and is not sat in the seat of scorners, but his delight is only in the law of Jehovah, and he meditates in his law day and night. And he, that person, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which will give its fruit in its season, and its leaf will not wither, and all which he does will prosper. Everything. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever you go. I would encourage you to get to know Joshua chapter 1. Really good. There's so much in there. 2 Chronicles. This is King Hezekiah. And they were surrounded, and the armies of Assyria were coming against them. And listen to what Hezekiah says. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with them. For there be more with us than with him. With him is the arm of the flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. So, the Assyrian king was mounted. He had vast armies that were coming against him. in Hezekiah is his trust in God. There's more with us. What was he talking about? Was he talking numbers? He was talking about heavenly hosts, the armies of heaven, God. There's more with us. He just has the flesh, the arm of the flesh. He just has all his soldiers. He doesn't have God.
Left hand.
Left hand. Amen. If you remember, I think it was Elisha. There came a whole battalion of soldiers, and they were surrounding Elisha. And he says, and his Gehazi says, "Whoa, what are we gonna do?" And he says, "Don't worry, there's more with us than with them." And he goes, "What are you talking about? It's just me and you." And he prayed for his eyes to be opened, and he seen the mountains, and there were angels on horses, just full. The mountains were full of heavenly hosts. So we're never alone. Ooh-wee, that gave me chills. Acts 18:8, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and hearing this, many of the Corinthians believed and were baptized. And the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision, "Don't be afraid, but speak, and be not silent, for I am with you." This is Jesus, whom he met on the road to Emmaus. "For I am with you, and no one shall set on you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city." We have such a witness, a guarantee that we'll always win. Is failure possible? Look at this. 2 Peter 1:3. "By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. Because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises." We just read a bunch of them here. "These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises." How do we respond to God's promises?
Yes and amen.
Yes and amen. What was that?
By expecting them, by having faith in them.
Having faith in them. "God, I don't see it. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to trust." We are to walk by faith and not by sight. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. The King James says virtue. And moral excellence with knowledge. The knowledge, okay, what this is talking about is when you try or when you step out and believe, the Hebrew or the Greek word for that is science. What do scientists do? They set out to prove things. They test. They break down and they prove things that are true. Prove. So when you set out and you believe God, "God, I'm going to trust you for this," and it happens, you tested, you experienced, that's your knowledge. It's not just, well, I'm going to study to know. It's your experiential knowledge. You know by experience. We've all had prayers answered, right? So by experience, we know that God is faithful. He'll answer prayer. To knowledge, add to knowledge, self-control. Also, self-control with patient endurance. Patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop the mindset, we talked about mindset, perspective. Those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. How do you work hard? How do you prove? By looking at the above. Adding those things to your life. Virtue. Knowledge. Patience. Self-control. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs that he that doesn't control his spirit is like a city without walls. It means you have no protection. Anything can come. Work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Many people fall because of the issue is of not having that knowledge, the mindset. It doesn't matter what happens in my life. It doesn't matter what I see. God is always the same. Circumstances change, but God never changes. People change, but God's word never changes. Experiences change, but God's always consistent. We have to be convinced. Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Think about the audacity or the humility that Jesus had to say this. All authority in heaven and in earth. That's a lot of authority. It's given to me. Therefore, and here's the transference of authority. Now I'm sending you. Go and teach nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And behold, I, the one who has all authority in heaven and earth, I am with you all the days unto the end of the world. You have, who do you have with you? Everything.
Do you think that baptizing is referring to all of them? All the baptisms? Or which one do you think he's referring to?
The baptism is the, of course,
salvation.
The baptism is actually the sign. You know, believe and be baptized. And back then it was even more what John the Baptist baptized. So baptism was a big signature, being water baptized. Of course, remember now we're looking from a Jewish perspective. Okay? John the Baptist was a Jew, was a Hebrew. And so he was baptizing the Jews. They were lining up. And then the disciples also were baptizing. So it was a more of a traditional thing, a sign. And in fact, when they were in Acts, if you remember, there were certain believers, they weren't baptized in the Holy Ghost. And so they says, well, what baptism were you baptized in? Well, we were baptized in John's baptism. Oh, okay. Well, now let's go a little further. So the baptism was a sign of who you're following, who you've been under, and what you know. So they talked about Jesus, and then they believed, and they were baptized in the Holy Ghost. So baptism was not only a sign of, well, back then, it wasn't the sign that we look at it now. It was a sign of, I'm following, this person is my leader, this person is my teacher, this person is my rabbi. But since being born again, the new birth has been instituted. Now, it's an outward sign of an inward work. So it's a testimony. It's a public testimony. Mark 16:17, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. If they lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, sat at the right hand of God, signifying... What did the right hand signify?
Power.
Power. That Jesus was the ultimate power. Sat at the right hand of God, and they went forth, the disciples, and preached everywhere, and the Lord was working with them and confirming the word with signs following. What's your mindset? Jesus said, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, okay, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. And if you look that up in your e-sword and you find the strong Greek number for Word, you'll see Logos. In the beginning was the Logos. And when you look at the definition, it's sayings. Logos is sayings. The word. What is spoken. Jesus said, whosoever hears these sayings of mine, the Logos is speaking, and does them, I will liken him to a wise man. Now, let's understand, if Jesus is the Word, if Jesus is the Logos, and we have an entire Word here, what do we call this? The Bible, the Word of God. The Word of God. So if this is the Word of God, this whole thing is the Logos. This whole thing is a revelation of Jesus Christ, which it is from beginning to end. Jesus said, I'm the Alpha, the beginning, and I'm the Omega, the end. Jesus is in the beginning, Jesus is in the end. So, therefore, we have to encapsulate everything that we just read out of the Old Testament as being his sayings, because the Bible says that nobody wrote out of their own will, but everybody wrote as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. So they wrote down God's thoughts, the thoughts of the Logos, as God spoke. So whosoever takes these to heart, Old Testament, New Testament, and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man. You want to be known as a wise person? Well, there's your instructions. Which built his house on a rock, and the rains descended, and the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. It did not fail, for it was founded on a rock. Revelation 3:10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, and try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Look at this last part. Hold fast that which you have, and let no man take your crown. Is failure possible?
Yes.
Yes. If we don't heed, if we don't believe, if we're not persuaded that everything that we just read is true. Now, we were reading out of 2 Peter 1:3. Verse 10 at the bottom of the first page. If you do these things, you will never fall away. Now I want to pick up. Verse 11. You'll never, if you do all these things, add to your virtue knowledge, temperance, patience. If you, the fruit of the Spirit, if you experience these things, they become a part of you, and you hold to them. You'll never fall. You'll never fail. Then, look at verse 11. 1 Peter 1:11. God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Incoming. Joseph Dillman. And everybody goes, Joel. Whoops, Joel P. And that's a grand entrance. And then, entering, Keaton, Dean, everybody. A grand entrance.
Or would they call us by a new name?
Huh? Or
do we have a new name? Or is that
a new name? That's afterwards.
Yeah. So.
Second Corinthians 4:13. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. That's in Psalms, by the way. We also believe, and therefore speak. So the question is, what do you speak? Do you speak? I thank you, Lord. I can never fail. My confession, I can't honestly say I do this every day, but my daily confession is I have God. God's Spirit is in me, in my life. God's Spirit is in my mind, and God's Spirit is in my body. And God's Spirit is developing my life. God's Spirit is developing my mind. God's Spirit is developing my body. I cannot fail. For me to fail, is God to fail, and God cannot fail. Because I'm tucked in there. I'm tucked in Christ. Is failure possible? Don't let anybody take your crown. Doubt, unbelief, fear. We just read all kinds of scriptures. Fear not. Don't be afraid. And then we read about King Hezekiah says, the Lord is with us, and the people rested. Yeah, no problem. Let them come. They'll fall. Last scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 1. What do you speak? You speak what you're persuaded with. Whatever persuades you, that's what you speak. The Apostle Paul says, verse 12, for the which cause, 2 Timothy 1:12, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know who I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I'm persuaded. I'll not be ashamed. I don't have to be ashamed. I'm persuaded that the things that I've committed to him, my life, my mind, everything I have, he'll keep it. I'm persuaded, the Apostle Paul says, in Romans chapter 8. I'm persuaded. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him to love that loved us. And I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I am persuaded. Therefore, we speak what we believe. God told Joshua in 1:8-9, have courage to believe. He already told him, I'm going to be with you all the days of your life. Nobody's going to be able to. You win. He already told him, but have courage to believe my word, to obey it, to keep your nose, to meditate. Don't cease from speaking it. So, is failure possible? No. I come to a place, there's no options. It doesn't matter what happens, I'm not going to turn away. And we all have had opportunities. But the reality of who God is, the reality of what he's done, leaves no room for doubt. It ain't there. But we keep growing, and we keep seeking, and we keep walking, and we keep experiencing. And our faith keeps growing. Our faith keeps growing. That's what it's about. And God is faithful. We have there's a whole lot more scriptures that I could have thrown in there, But I want to encourage you, look some of these up and then do some cross-referencing. There's a lot of scriptures that God, don't be afraid. You don't have any reason to be afraid. I'm with you. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us specific guarantees because you don't go back on your word. I'm thinking of Isaiah 55 and verse 9 through 11, that your word, it'll go forth and it will prosper in the thing which you've sent it. And it will not return void. So we thank you, God, for your precious promises, your precious word, your guarantees. Do a mighty work in us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.